You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Hockey Show. My name is Roy Bellamy. That's David Droy from The Hockey News. We're recording this on Wednesday. This is being released on Friday. So we're not going to talk about Thursday's game against the Philadelphia Flyers. No matter what happens, though, the Panthers will still be on the top of the table, best in the league.
That's right.
Legitimately, the best hockey team in the NHL. But
it's not like a weird thing either. It's not like a good team that like you can see them beating in the playoffs, Boston. You know, it's not like that. Like, this is a team that everybody's scared shitless to play.
Yeah.
They're stacked.
And it's happened before. It's the second time in 2 years that the Panthers have been top of the table, pretty much this deep in the season, huh? So
it's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice. They did make a deal on Wednesday, which is technically today, even though this is being released on Friday. Vladimir Tarasenko is being traded from Ottawa to Florida for a 2025 third-round pick and a 2024 fourth-round pick, which will become a 2026 third-round pick if the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup. So it's conditional. Now, the Ottawa Senators are going to retain half of Tarasenko's salary, so that means the Panthers only take a $2.5 million cap hit. This is a great trade for most likely a rental player because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah, but still, a hell of a rental. You're getting a guy who knows how to put the puck in the net at an elite level. He's done it throughout his career. He's won a Stanley Cup already in 2019 with St. Louis, so he's got that experience, and he wants to be in Florida. He wants to compete. And this price, like we joked about it a couple weeks ago with David Pagnotta, like this is the price that, like, oh yeah, Ottawa's really going to give him. You know, they wanted a second-round pick for him, and now they're keeping half of his salary, and they're getting two mid-round picks, and Florida's basically giving up nothing. They're all in again, dude.
Yeah, they're deep at forward now. And don't really know where they're going to place him in the lineup. Maybe first, maybe second line. But there's going to be some line juggling. What do you think the team's going to do with all four of the lines?
Well, the thing about Tarasenko is that even though he's a left-handed shot, he likes to play the right side. He always plays the right side. And the Panthers' top two lines are pretty set with Barkov and Reinhardt at the top, Bennett and Tkachuk in the middle. So that third line, I'm thinking, with Anton Lundell and probably Eetu Oosterainen, because those two are a good pairing, will be where Tarasenko pops in, and then maybe on one of the power play units as well.
We are looking at Nick Cousins going down to the fourth line?
No, right now they've had Nick Cousins on that second line with Bennett and Tkachuk, just like they had in the playoffs last year, and it's starting to look good. Nick Cousins, you know, as we record this on a Wednesday, last night Nick Cousins had two goals in New Jersey, and that line is starting to kind of look like the scary don't bleep with us unit that they were in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking more, again, you know, just spitballing, but I'm thinking Evan Rodriguez is somebody that maybe gets moved down to the fourth line, and then you've got kind of a spot with Rodriguez, Gadavich, and Lomberg kind of jostling for those two wing spots.
And with a team who now has a six-game winning streak, the fourth time that they had a five-game-plus winning streak
it's
on
nuts.
The season. That's never happened in franchise history. And they had the last two on a road trip, and it was pretty much a gauntlet. You got the up-and-coming Red Wings. They beat them 4-0. You got the second place in the conference, New York Rangers, who they utterly destroyed 4-2, and they just beat the New Jersey Devils on Tuesday, because we're recording this on Wednesday.
A motivated Devils team that was playing with just fired Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, their last road trip, like they lost in Carolina on a quick one-game road trip, that 1-0 game last week. Their last road trip before that was another 3 games in 4 nights in 3 different cities, and they swept that one too. So, I don't know. What else can we say about this team? Just bring on the playoffs at this point. Like, they're ready.
They are definitely ready. First place in the league.
I know you're worried about that.
I know
you don't want the President's Trophy, but I don't think it matters with this team.
No, it doesn't matter to them at all. They're just playing.
They're just playing hockey. They're just doing what they're doing. They're going out trying to play their game every night, and whether or not they get home ice in the playoffs or not, whether or not they get, you know, top billing. They get all that. I don't think it matters. They proved to themselves last year that they can be the eighth seed. They can start every series on the road and they can come out just fine. I think those three Eastern Conference series, they went 5-1 in games 1 and 2 over the first three series. The only one they lost was game one against Boston. So I think they're pretty set, man. It's just that at this point, just knock on wood that they stay healthy.
I said they destroyed the Rangers. They actually destroyed the Red Wings. The Rangers game was actually closer than what it was. I mean, that was a great game to watch. That was exciting.
What they did to the Rangers in the third period of that game was really nice.
Shut them down.
Yeah. On the road, in their building, doing what they do. It was the Panthers imposing their will on the Rangers, which at the end of the day, if this does end up being an Eastern Conference final preview, that's what you want to see.
And they play again at the Garden March 23rd on national television at primetime national television against the New York Rangers. This is where we are right now. They got the Florida Panthers on broadcast TV on primetime. What are we doing?
It's come a long way since we were coming up, man.
Unbelievable.
And then the last time we saw primetime Rangers Panthers national TV was like on Fox with like the light up.
During Gretzky's era.
Yeah,
that was the playoffs. That was the last time. This is where we are right
come
now.
Come a long way.
So now we got the Mr. Curfew boys showing up here, and Shane O'Brien, Scotty Upshaw, they are on DKN, DraftKings Network. They are their hockey offering. They are our brothers from different hockey mutters.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool that you guys are on the network, and we appreciate you guys being here. The Florida Panthers made a trade. We want your instant analysis. Vladimir Tarasenko is coming from Ottawa. What do you guys think about this?
I love Vladdy. He's the Russian tank, boys. He's we call him the tank for a reason. If you watch this guy play, his legs are, you know, I got the big fella right here. Well, Vladdy sizes himself up against the big fella. He's he's won before. He knows how to score. He's, you know, Obi texted me last night. Maybe this will get Vladdy going again, give him a little something to play for, because, you know, things in Ottawa really haven't worked out for him. But listen, he's a natural born goal scorer. He's loves big moments. And what you're going to find out here in the next couple minutes of us talking Florida Panthers is we like these guys. Yeah. Like, we like these guys. They're built for playoffs. They're built for a championship. And I think it's a great fit.
And it really starts with Bill Zito, Shane, because he got Tarasenko for nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing, Shane. How is he doing this?
Yeah, he gave up, what, a second and a fourth rounder or a third and a fourth rounder? Actually, yeah. We saw Vladdy last night at Nobu down in Newport because the Senators play the Ducks today. So maybe Vladdy knew something. He was taking the boys for a nice dinner, thinking he was going to get traded. But listen, we love the Panthers. We were lucky enough to meet Bill Zito last year during the finals. Listen, they had $5.7 million in cap space heading into the deadline. And I said to Uppy yesterday on Mr. Curfew, like, please, Bill Zito, use that money. Go out and get a guy. Listen, Vladdy, Ottawa has been a tough year for him, boys. Hopefully that good vitamin D down there in South Florida, like you boys know, will get him going. Mm-hmm. We love the Cats. I got my money on Florida to win the Cup, so I think it's a good pickup.
Oh, boy.
So you guys have both played the game. Settle down, Roy. Roy gets a little nervous.
Don't do this to me, man.
You guys have both played the game. You're familiar with the Panthers. You both played here. I wanted to ask you this, and I'll ask you this later, because I know you guys both played at the same time. But while talking about the Panthers right now, what makes them such a scary playoff team? Because it's been like the big kind of the consensus right now. Nobody wants to face the Panthers in the playoffs. Like, what makes them so scary to face once we get to the postseason?
Yeah, it's a great question. They can play the game any way they want. And obviously, as we all know, they went to the finals last year and ran into a team, Vegas, that was just bigger, stronger. They had some injuries, but they came back and they weathered the storm at the start of the year. You know, Matty Tkachuk was hurt. Updog saw him at the awards. He was in a sling. They weathered the storm, and then they started getting healthy, and now they're just absolutely rolling. They got more depth. Their back end has more depth and more skill than it did last year. Bobrovsky's already in midseason form, and then you got Matty Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhart, Nick Cousins. They can play the game any way you want, boys, and Updog, as you know, come playoff time, they can get in those dirty areas and love it.
Yeah, just like you said, it's Bobrovsky to me.
Yep.
A guy that just this time of year, he just cranks it up. He gets like three more gears going, and when you ride a hot goalie like him, it's kind of what playoff teams need, right? Last year, Aiden Hill was the guy who, you know, brought the Knights to the promised land. But right now they got the two best, you know, the first two lines for these guys now, if you look at it, like the second line being Matty Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, Vladimir Tarasenko. I mean, that's a great line. And like Obi just said, they can beat you any way they want. And playoff time, if you want to get into big, you know, you want to start throwing them, start chucking them, games get out of hand, this team is tough. And we had dinner with Travis Green, who's now the head coach of the New Jersey Devils now. We had dinner with him last week, and he said, guys, they're big. Their D are big. Their forwards are big. They're mean. They play tough. And that's what wins this time of year.
Looking at goaltending, Sergei Bobrovsky and Anthony Stolarz, are we looking at the best 1-2 combo in the league?
You know what? We very well might be. And Stolarz is a big kid. I got to know him a little bit out here when he played in Anaheim. He's a great Jersey kid. He's big. Listen, anytime he's gone in and played for the Florida Panthers this year, and it always goes back to gambling with me, boys. I bet on the Panthers a lot. I've had confidence in Stolarz going in there. Every time he's played, he's always played well. Went in and beat Jersey the other night. It's a great 1-2 punch. But like the Updog said, when playoffs start, it's Bob's net. And we all saw what he did last year. And to me, I'm not a goalie coach, Ups, but he just looks like he's seeing the puck so well
right
now.
Yeah, old Robbie Tallis is the goalie coach there. He's got his hands full. Yeah, he's been there forever. But what great options, right? The team plays the same in front of both guys, and that to me, from the outside looking in, is what is how you can say these guys are the best in the business, because the way their team plays in front of them doesn't change, and you know, it's tough, man. It's tough this time of year to have a goalie that wants the net and will take you there. And that's what they got.
So the last thing on the Panthers for me, guys, you mentioned how their back line is so solid. They're big, they're mean. A guy who on that back line has been kind of on fire lately is Brendan Montour. Started the year off a little slow, maybe expectedly so coming off of surgery, but he has turned a corner. He's resumed basically the level that he was on last year. Pretty good timing for him. Is he going to be UFA this year? But between Tarasenko and Montour rounding into form, it's almost like the Panthers are making these huge deadline acquisitions. And for Montour, what do you think it means for him just in terms of offseason, big money? It's just kind of all falling into place for him right now.
Yeah, I love Monty Kidd. I play with him. I knew my career was over when I saw Brandon Montour at training camp for the Ducks. I'm like, wow, this kid's good. my run is coming to an end here, but he's a great kid. Like you said, came back from some injuries. He knows his situation. I was actually texting with him, you know, last week, and he's so focused. He's not thinking about, you know, he knows he's a UFA, but they got one goal in their mind down there, and it starts with their leader, Matty Tkachuk and Barkov and Monty. Mm. They want to win a Stanley Cup. That's all they're thinking about, and that's all they care about.
Yeah, and for me, if you just want to talk depth on their back end, I mean, Monty's going to back up the Brinks truck. There's no question about that. But two guys I played with in their younger days in the NHL is Oliver Ekman-Larsson in Phoenix and Dmitry Kulikov. Two guys that when you round out, you know, a top six D pair, these guys are playing like they're 22, 23 again. The resurgence of them, call it just that vitamin D that I was talking about.
I know Kulikov.
Kulikov kept his place in Boca, so I know that is what, you know, they're from Russia. They love South Florida. So he's had this resurgence, and it just proves that, like, you know, given the right spot and just that kind of that right vibe, you know, you can find your game no matter what. And they're that top six is as good as any.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard. Were you guys building out the A-Rod bathroom of your imaginations? Is that what I heard you discussing during the break?
Towels with an A on them.
You know the thing you slide the toilet paper on? That's a baseball bat.
Hey, like that.
Stugatz.
You think he actually calls it the throne? Probably does.
It's an actual throne.
Yeah. An actual throne.
There's got to be a full-length mirror in there somewhere.
I imagine somewhere in his house he has a replica of David, but with his head on it.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
right, boys, it's story time. Now, you guys have had long careers and you've seen a lot of stuff. And The Athletic recently wrote about the exploits of Chris Chelios, who had his number retired by the Chicago Blackhawks, and he was a party animal. So I would like to know from both of you, who were the biggest party animals that you ever seen as a teammate? Oof.
This guy sitting right beside me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
This guy sitting right beside me is a Hall of Famer. He was a hell of a player on the ice, don't get me wrong, but he's a Hall of Famer off the ice. Updog would be the guy that showed up to the rink, and I was always with him usually the night before, so I know what time we got home, and I would look at myself in the mirror, and then I would look at him when I bumped into him on the bus. I'm like, dude, how do you look so fresh right now? Like, what's your secret? So the Updog, first ballot Hall of Famer off the ice for sure.
Yeah, it's all about having that shower in the morning, you know, boys. You got to freshen up. You got to freshen up. Maybe a quick Halls before you go on the ice so the coach doesn't smell it as you skate by. But look, I played with a lot of old timers who could drink beer and drink beer well. Like Darian Hatcher could put back 25 beers and two bottles of wine on a on the way back on a train from Washington to Philadelphia and not even miss a beat. but you know, you just learn from the older guys, and then you know when the green light's flashing, you got to take advantage of it, because there's not many in an 82 game season, believe it or not. Like you got to kind of stay between the rails, but. The one thing about Chelios that, you know, most people might know is that, you know, this guy, he might be the last one at the bar, but he's the first one at the rink. A guy named Ryan O'Reilly's the same way, but he'd be in the sauna, he'd be riding his bike, he'd be sweating it out before he got on the ice. And that just says a lot about, you know, the way hockey players are wired.
Yeah, and real quick, there's different type of guys. Like guys that just, as soon as you land the city, they just drop their bag and go. I want to, like Hal Gill and my rookie year guy by the name of Ian Moran, who was my roommate.
Yeah.
When we landed, he dropped his luggage right to a happy hour spot, dinner, and then they would go to bed. So a lot of the boys would like to just drop their luggage and go have beers right away.
Nice. I did want to ask you, we got a couple of guys down here. Right now, Ryan Lomberg comes to mind. You guys played with Sean Thornton down here. In terms of the best chirpers that I can think of, just guys that just, I don't know how they do it. I can't think that fast, let alone when I'm actually playing hockey. So I wanted to get your take on when I asked you best chirpers that you guys played with, what comes to mind?
Oh man!
I mean, Steve Ott.
Yeah, I just wrote him down. I just wrote down
the problem with the whole coaching staff. But previous to Craig Berube getting traded, because let go in St. Louis. But Craig Berube, as a coach, I had him in Philly and in St. Louis. He was hilarious, boys. The stuff coming out of his mouth as an assistant coach to the opposing players, referees, to our bench was all time. Says a lot when you got a coach that has a good personality like that.
Yeah, and I'm going to say basically the whole Chicago Blackhawks team. When I was in Vancouver, we had wars against these guys. And typically our boy Dave Bolin, Ben Eager, Dustin Byfuglien, Adam Burke, these guys were relentless chirpers.
Eager, Versteeg.
They had a good team for chirping.
You did mention referees chirping at the referees, but they like to give it back. Are there any referees that you actually know who are relentless in chirping back at players?
Oof. Yeah, Justin St. Pierre.
I used to love giving.
I
mean, he'd be in the tanning booth all season long. Yeah. He was easy target.
Yeah. And then Bill McCreary was a guy when I was a young player. Bill McCreary was a veteran ref, and he took no nonsense. I remember I chirped him at Madison Square Garden early in the first period, and he ended up giving me four penalties. And just at the end of the game going off, he's like, did you learn your lesson, kid? I'm like, Bill, I learned my lesson after the second penalty. You didn't have to call four on it.
Yeah, Wes McCauley, you hear him call a game, you know, when he puts his microphone on, he's great. Sutherland's awesome. I mean, there's some great referees. And the best thing about playing in that league is you go on and you earn some respect is just, you know, what you are able to say to these referees and what you're not. You know, as you get to know them, you can kind of get away with a lot more, right? You're like, come on, boys. You know, you get to. Well, we're not allowed to swear on this show, but yes.
I mean, you can try not to. Yeah. I mean, you could, but you could try not to. It's a suggestion.
We're not
going to
kick you off.
We're not going to give you a game misconduct. I mean, goodness. Fellas, I want to talk to you about locker room rituals. I mean, you guys, pregame and during intermissions, some of you guys do weird stuff. And whether it's just taking off your clothes, walking around naked, and then hitting the shower and then getting dressed just in time for the second period and stuff like that. Who had the weirdest rituals during your career?
Corey Perry for me. Paris is still playing. And Paris had some really weird rituals when we were young in Anaheim. And then years later, like 10 years later, I re-signed with the Ducks. I got called up and in Tampa. And his his routine that I thought was weird as a rookie. Well, it was 10 times. Like, he was touching lights and fixtures. I'm like, Paris, what are you doing, man? He's like, I got to do this before the game. So Corey Perry. And then for me, Updog, if I had a bad period, I take all my gear off and start over. Yeah. I just like, you know what? Let's start over.
Go get a new shirt.
Yeah, like new gets. This person said it didn't happen. Yeah.
Are there any new skates around?
Yeah, I need something, boys.
So I mentioned Darian Hatcher before. He did used to shower in between periods. It was the craziest thing. I mean, you only have 18 minutes or
so. So many questions about that.
You know, and then when it comes to like rituals, Paul Kariya was a guy, you know, hour and 20 minutes before the game, he's sitting in his stall. He's kind of deer-eyed, just looking at like the other team's lineup. You couldn't say anything to him. And then as soon as the meeting would be over, he'd have all of his stretches like in order, timed the right way. He'd tape his stick the same amount of times, like on his blade over and over and over again. Yeah, wild stuff.
Yeah.
But I loved him as a younger player. So I was always like kind of looking up to that, but it was so weird. And then like Brian Campbell, who played in Florida, would be a hell of a player. He would tape his ankles. He would do the whole roll of sock tape, which, you know, it's a lot of tape. He would tape his whole ankle.
That's a lot of tape, boys.
And but yeah. He could skate. It was crazy. But
maybe I should move.
It's like being in a ski boot. I would. That should weigh you down, bro.
I know. And then on the other hand, boys, Teemu Selanne, the Finnish flash,
yeah.
He would come in 3 minutes before we had to be on the ice.
That was my style.
Fastest I've ever seen a guy get dressed. 3 minutes, then go around the room and be like, let's go up here, let's go Obes. And I'm like, to this day, I don't know how he got dressed so fast.
Nice. Coffee, probably.
Yeah, it might have been caught. Red Bulls.
So, boys, we got the trade deadline coming up. We're recording this on a Wednesday, coming up on Friday. I know, Updog, you had an interesting trade deadline tale, I believe, from Philly to Arizona. But I wanted to just ask you guys, hopefully good, but any memories that pop up when you get to this time of the year?
Yeah, no, you brought up one. I have another one. I got traded from Phoenix to Columbus, which was, you know, was awful.
Actually. That's a tough trade, boys.
That's terrible. Yeah, I left my house that was on DC Ranch Golf Course. I was looking at the fourth green, and then I got traded to Columbus, and it rained and snowed for the next 2.5 months.
And you were looking at a dumpster in the alley.
Yeah, it was brutal. But no, so that night, me and this kid, Sammy Lapisto, we both get traded together, and we got to get up to Vancouver to play the next night, Columbus versus Vancouver. And so we have this flight through Vegas. It goes Phoenix, Vegas, Vancouver, and we're supposed to get in 11:30, 11 p.m. Well, we get caught in Vegas. Like, we don't make our flight. Next thing you know, I'm calling the team services guy. I've never met him before, and I'm like, yeah, we're caught here in Vegas. Like, we need a hotel room, and
we're caught here.
So we're staying at the Cosmo. And we happen to know a bunch of girls that are there on a bachelorette party. So we go have dinner with them at STK. And then we end up at Hyde or Tao. And then next thing you know, it's, you know, we got this 5:45 wake-up call. And I play the next night. And I'm sitting in the Seattle airport. We did a Vegas, Seattle, Vancouver. And I'm sitting there and I'm passed out. And Sammy had taken a photo. And at the time, Twitter was just kind of getting going. This is like 2008 or 9. And he posts it and it goes viral. Like, I'm having a pregame nap in the Seattle airport. And thankfully, my first game, I end up getting one on Luongo, top shelf. Thank God, because it wouldn't have been pretty the way this all had happened. And we won the game. So, you know, all in all, it was a terrible trade for Phoenix.
Yeah.
But I had a great night in Vegas.
Part of the story, too, is what was the Columbus guy thinking making you go through Vegas?
Yeah.
That's his fault. I put it on the Columbus travel guy, whoever he was.
I actually wanted to stay the night in Phoenix.
You probably wanted to stay
more. I had a girlfriend there at the time. And I was just, you know, I want to spend one more night in the house. No, get on that bird, try to make it through Vegas. And lo and behold, I got stuck.
Man, oh, man. That must have sucked. Oh, man.
Sounds like a good night to me, actually. Sounds like a good night.
I know. I'm talking about the girlfriend situation. You're going to leave her. And
that's not perfect.
Don't worry. That didn't last that long. So.
The Panthers, they had two games against the Arizona Coyotes. In the first game, Jason Zucker actually boarded Nick Cousins, he had his name in trade rumors going to Florida, by the way, which is absolutely funny because that would have been an interesting first day for practice. But in the second game at Florida, there was a conversation during pregame skate along the red line, and they were trying to decide who's going to fight who, because there had to be retribution in this situation, because Nick Cousins ended up out of the lineup for a little bit. How does that go when you have to play another team after something bad happened, and somebody has to get the comeuppance. How does that go? What are the rules in this one?
The rules are put your tie down on because you know something's going to happen. I mean, you just know as a player, and typically you take care of it in warm-up. Like, you know, I'd go up and be like, hey, up dog, you don't have a choice tonight, buddy. You know, you ran our guy last game. It's going to happen. Let's get it over with right away, or I'll chase you around all night. So you kind of know. You get it handled in warm-up, then you come out for the start of the game. It doesn't always happen on the first shift like it did in that game, which was unbelievable, by the way. There was two fights going on at the same time. I was loving it.
Yep.
But you want to take care of it. You want to get it over with, get it handled, and then focus on the game.
And it's not just your team or their team. It's like the whole crowd. Like, everyone knows something's going to happen. So, you know, the sooner the better almost, right? It's almost like it's a respect factor. Like, hey, by the way, you know what you did last game. You're stepping up today, and it's going to either be early or it's going to be late, but you're getting it no matter what. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And Nick Cousins has taken up a role on this team that is pissing everybody off. And now that he's on the second line with Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett, everybody, I mean, the entire team, the entire opponents, they're getting pissed off as well, because it's just a magnitude of pissiness right now coming from that second line. In your careers facing opponents, what would you say would be an entire line of people that would piss you off?
Oh, wow.
Well, you talked about
it. I mean, I used to hate Ian LaPerriere. Burrish, I'd want to kill.
Yeah.
Otter fought me at least, though. Sean Avery.
Everybody hated Sean Avery.
Right? Yeah, everybody.
I love Aves. We love Aves now, but
I think if you were hated by Aves and you hated him, you were doing something right out there. Like that had to be the way things were going down.
Yeah, a guy I played with who I loved having on my team, Alex Burrows, who Kessler. I absolutely love. Best two.
Hated Kessler.
And then I played against him after. I'm like, I wanted to kill both of them. But when you have guys on your team like that, and because he's a good kid, he grew up 45 minutes away from me. He wasn't happy with some of the things me and the updog said about him during that situation. But he's a valuable asset to the team. There's a fine line between being a rat and getting under a guy's skin and then disrespecting the game. You know what I mean? Like, you don't flop on the ice. You don't lay down. So I think because he's figured that out, and since he's been back from his injury, he's been playing unbelievable, getting under people's skin, but at the same time not, you know, flopping around and doing stuff like that.
I think what we said to him kind of got him.
Well, he chirped him right away.
In the mirror a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and we've all been there.
Hoppy got him good.
I called him out. I basically was the first one, you know, in the media to say, like, you know, after he hit Zucker and he turned his back to the play, which you never do. It's like in boxing, you're never going to not look at your opponent in case, you know, he gets up and smokes you, which is legal. So you hit a guy, you know, someone's coming from behind. And as soon as you feel that little push, you dive. So you just, as soon as you hit someone, turn around, because someone's coming, especially if you know it was borderline. And I just called him out. I just said, you know, I could tell, I can see it blatantly from the video. You hit the guy and you just waited there with your back turned. And as soon as you felt something, you kind of went down. That's just not the way you should play, because you're too good of a player. And, you know, I just had to call him out on it. And then,
yeah, it was a trickle down effect. Oppie ripped him. Then
it's been better.
Kevin BX ripped him on Hockey Night in Canada. And then Biz Nasty let him have it on Chicklets. So it was like the trifecta, that because he had it coming at him. But he has been better since. So I think we got to credit the updog for calling.
No, and there's a way to do it. There's just a way to do it. Like,
you're welcome.
You can take the hit. Like, turn around and take the hit square on. Just don't, like, kind of pretend like you don't know anyone's coming.
I used to love when guys came at me too, because I knew I could get the first punch in. Like, if you're coming at me, I'm already getting ready to throw my gloves off and chuck them. So if you come at me, I'm not even asking questions. I'm already just chucking.
Shane O'Brien, Scotty Upshaw, missing curfew on DraftKings Network. We appreciate you guys joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, fellas.
Love the hockey show, boys.
Thank you,
thanks,
fellas.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.